I think they like you, Steve.
Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
It's the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Have no place to go, darling. 720 WGN, Steve Cochran Show.
Yes, I'm going.
With you till 10 o'clock. You can listen here on 720 of course, or WGNradio.com, where you can also check out the stream. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, all the other social media, relevant social media sites. We got off the irrelevant social media sites long ago.
The woman that works in the Dunkin' Donuts downstairs, her name is Myra, and she told me this morning, she said, I did not know you worked for WGN Radio. And I said, I do. And she said, I'm at home looking at Facebook. And I said, look at all the fun she's having at WGN. Because she saw our Halloween costume photo gallery, so
I got
you should have said who else would be up at this hour getting donuts.
I know. She and I always count to the weekend. That's our daily interaction. Fun. We're counting to the weekend.
When you hit the Dunkin' Donuts downstairs, they have yet to put the donuts out.
Yeah,
they're like at the point where they're doing time to make the donuts for real. Yeah.
For isn't real. Supposed for real. To be 2 in the morning. Shouldn't they be making the donuts?
I think we're kind of the outlier in terms of. I don't think their rush starts till after 6 o'clock.
Yeah. So. What time do they open? Because they're not open when I come in.
I think they order it open at 5.
Oh, okay.
There you go.
I need to come in later.
We need a
have you guys adjusted to the new sked, the new daylight savings?
I was so messed up yesterday.
Yeah, me too. It was so really dark last night.
I have a lot of questions for all of you because this is my first time with this time shift on the Steve Cochran Show. I enjoyed the heck out of it yesterday only because the sun went down early, so it felt like I had a night before you had to go to bed early, if that makes sense.
But like you were extra tired, though.
Yeah,
I was really
that's
tired.
That's true. But that's good, because then you feel like you can actually go to bed at 9 o'clock.
That's true, but I had to watch the Packer game for a while with my husband.
Yeah, we went to bed late, but it did feel like we got to sleep in this morning, because, you know, it's an hour later.
That's true, that's true. Well, anyway, I just feel like now I feel like I have a night. Before, the sun would go down, and you'd be like, now I got to go to bed right now?
That's a weird positive spin on
it. Yeah, that's an interesting perspective, because it actually made me angry.
Oh, see, but that's what I'm asking you guys, because this is the first time through. So you could see my point on life. I'm optimistic.
You're all rosy this week. Next week, you'll be back
to normal. But you've never been rosy. Why would you be rosy about this?
I am. I'm rosy. I'm optimistic. I'm excited about the week ahead this winter.
Listen, I make fun of myself all the time because I don't know why it's a surprise. It gets cold this time of year, and it gets dark earlier, and yet every year I go, what? How is this possible?
I look forward to that. I look forward to that emotional response.
Top 6 at 6 is busy, as you can guess. Dave, I hate to say this because close doesn't count, but that was a good football game.
It was a good football game. It was a great environment at Ryan Field Saturday night. It was a lot of fun. Not just Saturday night, but all Saturday afternoon.
Yeah.
Because fans were out there tailgating, Notre Dame fans, Northwestern fans, jabbing at each other, but also kind of good-natured. I had a lot of Notre Dame fans come up to me and say they listen to the show. And they root for Northwestern when they're not playing Notre Dame.
Yep.
And it was I just thought it was a really fun atmosphere.
Plus, you had Ro Khan in the booth with you.
Had Ro in the booth.
Well, it wasn't all positive then.
Does Brian Kelly always wear such a tight jacket?
I haven't really noticed.
I felt like it was like he borrowed some little kid's jacket. His like little belly was, it was real snug around his belly.
He's like every coach. He argues that every play, every flag,
every face turns red.
But well, a game like that will make you drink.
The way he argues is so aggressive. Like, are you going to slap him? It feels like you're about to slap somebody. He's just the way that guy works.
There's some anger there.
You know, maybe because his jacket is too tight.
Maybe it's a good luck jacket.
I think the anger really comes from the fact. I'm sorry, Mayor, what?
I just said maybe it's a good luck jacket, and he's had it for a long time.
Okay, yeah, his kids gave it to him a long time ago. Yeah. I think he's angry because of daylight savings time and the fact that it's cold now. Yeah. It's 6:18, top 6 at 6 next.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
With the top 6 at 6, sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
24 hours away, Election Day will be on at this time tomorrow, and I drove by a couple of early voting places on Saturday. Cold day, lines out the door.
Yeah, good. Means I have more time for bits tomorrow at my polling place.
Yeah, is anybody voting tomorrow?
I am.
Me too.
I am.
There'll be two of us.
Yeah, I'll be voting tomorrow. Dave, you as well?
I am, yes.
And Sandberg, again, the reason you voted early was?
Get it over with.
Yeah. Much like going to the dentist.
You told me that you were afraid you didn't know what was going to be going tomorrow, what would happen to you.
Well, because why put off till tomorrow what you can do today? And turns out I'm getting a tooth extracted tomorrow right after the show. So I must have had like a premonition where I knew I was not going to be available.
And by the way, we'll be giving that tooth away to the seventh caller sometime later in the show on Wednesday.
It's a formerly root canal tooth, and it has a very pretty porcelain crown on the top of it, so it's probably worth something.
Do you get to keep that crown since you paid for it?
Well, no, we're giving it to a listener.
Oh, a listener.
Yeah, a listener can have it.
Yeah. Let's get to that top 6 at 6. I'm kidding. We're in it now. item number 2 is the first Shabbat after Pittsburgh's tragic attack. Shabbat services were held across the U.S., drawing people of all faiths. Rabbi Jeffrey Myers is one of the people that met Trump at the Tree of Life synagogue where the massacre took place, and says he told Trump specifically it's the hate speech and the rise of hate rhetoric in this country that led to this. And we have no reason to doubt that he did, in fact, say that.
I think it's so cool that people, I don't know how many people from other faiths usually go to this kind of service, but because of that attack that all over the country, other faith people went. I think that's a really cool sign of unity.
Yeah, no, it's very cool. If you've never been, I mean, listen, if you're a Christian and you've never been to a synagogue, I highly encourage you going. You know, you should experience other faiths. I'd like to do that when I go to a Catholic ceremony, but I'm rarely welcome. At 6:25, we continue. Quack. Well, there we go. How about a little good news if you're going to shop on Black Friday? The Costco Black Friday 2018 deals are out. Anybody want a $250 iPad?
I'm good.
Super Joe's good for that.
From 1970? Nope.
That's a new iPad. New $250, yeah.
And you're buying?
Sure. Yeah.
All right.
$300 Dyson vacuum cleaner. How much are those normally?
$10,000.
Yeah, I have. Are they expensive? It's very expensive. It depends which version you have, but they're the best.
So you got to go to the store on Black Friday for these?
Yeah, you actually have to get up. You got to put pants on. Thanks. And you got
to
leave the house.
I can't go to the Costco when it's not Black Friday. Can you imagine me at 6 o'clock in the morning at a Costco?
I thought you were a bright and sunny positive.
I am very positive, but shopping.
Taking a turn already.
Costco is just joins the list.
I'm with you, Justin.
What? Mary, you're down on something?
Costco.
A Surface Pro 6 bundle includes a keyboard and Surface Pen. That's for $800. That seems like the regular price. Is that cheaper? I don't know what a Surface Pro 6 bundle costs. On it goes. So they're leaking out. It amuses me how they go, I can't believe these got out. When there's literally a department of leaks, it's in the retail business to get this stuff out to try to get you off the couch and off the Amazon and actually come in and shop.
It's their sales flyer.
Yeah, exactly.
They hand them out, put them on cars. It leaked out.
I can't believe people saw it. Next. This is a terrible story. Hundreds gathered in Wisconsin to mourn 3 Girl Scouts and their chaperone struck and killed by a pickup truck that veered off the road and then briefly drove away but eventually turned himself in. Girls were fourth graders and members of Troop 3055 in Chippewa Falls, about 90 miles east of Minneapolis. We have no knowledge of why the truck left the road. Of course, this makes you immediately think about the kids in Indiana that were killed last week. Stop looking at your phone when you're driving. I don't know that was the case here, but just stop it. Stop it. This guy's going to jail. The girl last week's going to jail. These are people who presumably were, just normal folks who made a horrible mistake. Well, guess what? You don't get it back. Next, our old friend Pat Hughes is in the news this morning. The Pat Hughes talking bobblehead released for the 2-year anniversary of the Cubs World Series. 2016 bobbleheads. Available in honor of the Cubs' win. The bobblehead shows Hughes sitting behind a desk microphone. I wouldn't call it a desk. It's more of a table in the booth, wouldn't you say?
Yes, a counter.
Yeah, behind the counter with a microphone in hand, the blue shirt version of the Pat Hughes bobblehead is sold out. I didn't know Pat had more than one shirt. Does he?
I don't remember.
A second version, the red shirt version, is available for pre-order, but will not be available until camps open in February.
Are you kidding?
No. That's the demand of these.
Wow.
It's incredible. Congratulations to Pat. One of the great guys. Next. Crazy busy sports weekend, including a dramatically big Bears win. Didn't I predict a blowout on Friday?
You did. I think you did.
Yeah. I did too.
Well, then why don't you pull that, since it was a proper prediction, so we can play it back when Hamp's on later. As the Bears won in a runaway, and to make your weekend even more special, the Packers got beat last night by the Patriots.
Yes, they did. The big Brady Rodgers matchup, the head to head, it kind of fizzled. Really, I mean, it was a one touchdown game in the fourth quarter, and then Brady.
Yeah, it was 17-17,
Brady hits the big play, and there you go.
The best part is that the Bears. This guarantees that the Bears are relevant at least till December.
Uh huh. I'd agree.
Usually
with that.
We're out by now.
I'd agree with that. Vikings are still.
Yeah,
you know,
they're in it, but now I have a 2-game lead on the Packers.
Yeah.
So that keeps us relevant.
So you think the Packers are going to come back and win the division?
I wouldn't put it past them.
Yeah,
but
that's probably true.
Point is, it'll be an exciting December.
And as I said, Hamp will be on a little bit later. And the Hawks got to get it together. The Hawks have had a horrible week. They were, as somebody put it well, 0 for Canada.
Yeah, well, they were. And you know what was really unfortunate? It was Jonathan Toews scored his 300th goal, and it came in a loss and got overshadowed.
Yeah, it's a big deal. 300 goals. It's a lot of goals. So the Hawks look to turn it around this week. They got a couple days off to get right. Duncan Keith may be facing a suspension after boarding a player. And really, a bizarrely vicious way. I don't know. He lost it for a second. I'm not laughing at the player or the incident, but right. You know, they just got to get it together. That's all. They got to get their act together. 6:29. We're back in a moment with your headlines, and then Doc Most on 720 WGN.
That's it.
That's all today for the top six at six.
No more.
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
Doctor.
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 And doctor. Well, we miss anyone?
He's Northwestern Medicine VP. Call Dr. Morse right now.
Sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, the pursuit of better health care starts here. Good morning, Dr. Most.
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
Well, you know, because we're friends, every time I see when I'm doing preparations for the show, for the week, if I see a health story, I dive in. I dive in because I want to know stuff because you're my friend. And I saw this one and the headline caught my eye. How often should I pee in a day? And I didn't know this because I've never counted. The average person goes 6 to 8 times a day, but 4 to 10 is perfectly normal. You agree or disagree?
I totally agree.
I feel like I should count now.
I'll start a tally.
Yeah.
I assume you went after your ride in. I got one down for you right now.
No, I went when I got up. When I got up this morning, I did not go. I've not gone since I've been here.
You did not go. Okay.
No.
All right. So I'm keeping
catch
track.
Catch up. Let's go.
Is there an app? Is there an app? There's got to be an app
there
for that.
There probably is. Yeah.
Well, you think about it. The day started at midnight. Here it is 6:40. We're 6 hours and, 42 minutes into the day,
you're
and I've only
schedule.
Peed once. How am I going to get the other seven in?
Now, once we part ways today, you're going to have to keep me updated on how often
I'll text you every
so
time I pee. Yeah.
Keep the tally
absolutely.
Going.
No question about it.
I'm guessing you're more of a 7 or 8. I'm thinking I'm
10.
Yeah, how many times a night?
Drinking a lot of water. So.
How many times a night do you get up?
Oh, wait, I did get up in the middle of the night.
See?
So that's 2.
That one.
We're already up at 2. See, good thinking, Mayor.
Yeah, I was up at 2:30 a.m. Well, the reason Mary knew is because I call her. Call her.
Don't call me because I don't get up.
I can't wait for Sandberg's employee review when she's like, what are the things you do? Well, I tally how often Steve pees. Okay, we got that. You got an
important part of the job. Doc, we were going to get to this last week. We ran out of time, but I no longer have an appendix. Mine was taken when I was 10 years old.
Good for you.
And is the appendix something that any of us need, or should we start whipping them out right now?
Yeah, I'm not sure we should start getting rid of them right away, but really it really has no function. Some people feel that it might just hold good bacteria for times when we have a viral infection and it reseeds the gut, but for the most part, we really don't know why it's there and we really don't know what it does.
Do you think, and this is one of those things, is a Christian, this is one of those things where I think, well, God
God probably just, you know, ran out of ideas, you know, putting people together, going, oh, you know what? It's already in. Leave it. It's not going to do anything, but just leave it. There's been studies on this forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And they continue to come back with the same information. It doesn't do anything.
Right.
But it can cause problems.
It can cause problems, absolutely. You know, you obviously had appendicitis when you were 10 years old. And I bet you if you polled the entire group there with you, you probably have maybe one, maybe two others who lost their appendix at a young age.
Well, let's check. Anybody else lose their appendix?
No.
Nope. I have mine.
My question would be how many times I thought that I did.
And yes.
Turned out it was a hot dog.
Yeah, it turned out it was a bad burrito. But it seems like that, to me, is a question I have for you, Doc Mose, is what is the symptoms of appendicitis just for parents of 14, 15-year-olds who don't want to go to their part-time job?
Exactly, or have a test that day. Mm-hmm. But the appendix is a little 4-inch outpouching off of our large intestine, essentially. And it's down in our, if you put a square on your stomach, it's in the lower right-hand square. And what usually happens is you start to have pain around your belly button, and then it goes down into the lower right-hand corner. Worse when you push on it, let go. It can also cause discomfort. People often won't want to eat anything. They won't want to move because movement will cause discomfort. Matter of fact, some people, even on their way to the hospital, they'll hit bumps. You know, we'll ask them, when you hit a bump in the car, oh, yeah, I felt that each time. And when you examine them, they do not want you to push on it, and they do not want to move.
And they also don't want to eat, right?
They don't want to eat. It's one of my favorite questions for little kids, you know, even at 8 o'clock in the morning. What's your favorite food? Pizza. If I had a piece of pizza, would you eat? No, I don't want anything to eat right now.
Now I know you got something. Now, the great danger here is a burst appendix, right?
Correct. Yeah, the infection can, you know, it's this little tube, so as it starts to swell, if it doesn't drain, it thins the skin to a point where it'll burst, and you'll have an infection, especially in your abdominal cavity, which in many cases can be severe, and other cases can be treated fairly conservatively.
Does the pain increase with a burst one? Is it worse?
No, it's actually kind of interesting. They initially have a lot of pain, and then when it bursts, their pain goes down, but they get sicker. They start to have a fever, and then they will start to get the pain coming back because the pain is initially from too much water in a water balloon as it spreads, and then once it bursts, it's like, oh, I kind of feel better.
But that's poison, right? That's poison in your system now.
Exactly. Now you have bacteria that's not contained, and it's all over your intestine.
Now, there is a question in the medical community, and this is really what this new study is about, is about what the treatment, whether it's better to get in and cut open and have surgery or to have a course of antibiotics. There's arguments on both sides.
Absolutely. You know, when you think about it, well, we just said it's an infection, so how do we treat infections? Well, we treat infections with antibiotics. Now, this study in Finland showed that if we gave them antibiotics, for some cases, that we don't need to do surgery. The bad thing about the study was that surgeon got to choose who got antibiotics and who got surgery. So obviously they would take the sicker ones to surgery, and they would take the ones that they could feel might be able to be treated with antibiotics and let them be treated with antibiotics. Still very controversial, because even in Finland when the study was done, the standard of care was to take the appendix out.
So that study is, I don't know that it's flawed, but it's incomplete.
Yeah, it's definitely incomplete. I think what it shows is that those minor cases where you're kind of on the fence back and forth and are totally unsure if it's a full-blown appendicitis, you may be able to watch them and treat them with antibiotics. We're trying to, one of the ways to diagnose is a great physical exam. The other way is CAT scans. And we're trying to get away from using CAT scans, especially in young children, because it's a lot of radiation in an area of their body that's very important.
What's the length, the positive length of Parkinson's?
That one's probably even more interesting. You know, this was a study that we talk about big data in the past, and we've talked about how important it is to get as much as we can as far as big data. And this is in Sweden. And Sweden had 1.7 million people that they were following. And what they noticed was those individuals who had their appendix taken out at a young age had a 20% lower chance of having Parkinson's in the future.
That's a big deal.
Well, it is a big deal, and now people are going, you're crazy. What does the appendix have to do with a movement disorder in my brain? Mm-hmm. So it's like, that doesn't make any sense. But what we found is that in healthy people, then when we took out their appendix, we looked, and there's a protein in there that's actually one of the proteins that we think is a big portion of what causes Parkinson's.
That's why some medical advances take so long, because sometimes things happen because they happen when they happen. Huh? How's that for deep?
Yeah. And what the ability of now is that we get to take this look at this big data and allows us to compare large populations. Because no one's going to say, wait a second, you know, you had Parkinson's. Did you have your appendix taken out as a child? But the dilemma now comes, well, wait a second. Should we be treating more individuals with surgery, or should we be treating them with antibiotics? Well, if you have a 20% lower chance of having the risk of Parkinson's in the future, many are going to say, hey, I know surgery has a risk, but I'd like that removed.
Yeah, I don't need my appendix anyway.
Yeah.
Now we can give it away on the air, just like Sandberg's tooth.
Prize list this week is amazing.
Doc, if you can hang around, we have some other questions for you of a general nature, if you don't mind, plus an app that was just sent to me by a helpful texter that I think is important in regards to your pee-pee. Stand by for that. Dr. Kevin Moss with us. Yeah, all right, Doc. I'll get to this app in just a second, but want to clear something up so we understand it. Texter. Doc, you said pressing on the appendix relieves pain. When I was trained as an EMT, we were taught pressing relieved the pain, but when you quickly release the pressure, the pain would be awful. They called it rebound pain, and it was used to differentiate between an appendix or other abdominal issues. Has that changed?
No, correct. So when you press, it causes pain, and when you release, it causes pain. So you press this inflamed organ down, it causes some discomfort, and when you let go really quickly, we don't just ease, we remove our hands quickly, and then that organ now, that the appendix now moves, and that causes it, what we call rebound pain. Similar to, as I said, when you're driving over in a car,
any
kind you bump. Any time that that thing is moving, and if you force it to move, it's going to cause discomfort. So he's absolutely correct, and I apologize if I misspoke.
No, I think that's just clear.
I'm going to say don't push on that appendix if you're having a problem.
Well, you have to know what it is. That's why the doctors are in there poking you.
You'd be a great doctor. Just avoid it.
Yeah, I just don't.
Well, the last thing you want to hear as a doctor is people complaining about how sick they are.
Exactly.
Kelly's in Arlington Heights. Kelly, what was your question?
Hi. I take a probiotics for my health. And then I am prescribed antibiotics when I get sick. So how does that work?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think that comes up for you a lot, Doc. Does one cancel out the other, and can you take both at the same time?
You could take both at the same time, but it's absolutely right. We've talked about this in the past, that it's very important to have some bacteria in your gut. So we have lots of bacteria, actually, in our large intestine and small intestine. It helps us with our digestive tract. So what happens when we take an antibiotic, even if it's for an antibiotic, let's say for a skin infection or for pneumonia, that antibiotic goes everywhere and knocks out what we call the normal gut flora. When that happens, people end up getting diarrhea. It's probably one of the biggest side effects of antibiotics. And the reason being is that that antibiotic now has knocked all that bacteria out, and the body now doesn't have the ability or what it needs to digest food, and therefore you get diarrhea. So, yeah, very important. People love probiotics, and especially after having antibiotics, probiotics are very important to get that gut flora back to normal so that you don't have the diarrhea.
So don't stop taking them.
No, you can continue to take.
Our own Wendy Snyder loves the probiotics.
Yes, she does.
She and her own family take them.
I take one every day.
Do you?
I do, too.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yep.
All right, Doc, the flu, I got this question over the weekend, and I know you get it all the time. How long does it take for the shot to take effect?
2 weeks. So you get that shot, and what happens is that's just turning on the immune system to say, this is what we don't like this season. Let's teach you how to look for it so that if we see it in the future, it's going to come back. So it takes 2 weeks, which is why really right now is so important, because as we get into Thanksgiving, a lot of travelers, we're starting to see some flu in the southeast. All we need is people going to the southeast and bringing it back, or people from the southeast coming here, and we'll spread the flu to much more quickly.
All right, and me talking about how often I pee has really opened up the listeners to some real honesty here. So before this app, on the last word, 847, you ought to have the doc talk about this. It's not so important how many times you go a day, but what color it is. And if there is a, sorry about the detail here, kids, but if there's a light yellow, you're properly hydrated. It shouldn't be completely clear, and it shouldn't be darker in color. True?
True. you know, color is very important, and believe it or not, we do look at that. It can also give us ideas about other illnesses, possibly liver disease, kidney disease. So that's important. And we really, I mean, we kind of laugh about it, but we have a lot of people out in the country who have urinary incontinence, and whether that's due to a muscle or a nerve. So some of these apps will help a doctor actually make the diagnosis of why an individual has some loss of urine at times when they don't want to, and can lead to treatment options. So the app probably has its place in some individuals.
I am happy to tally how often you go. I am not prepared to take on any screenings of what actually comes out.
Well, it's weird because in our office, there's a little trap door where I can put a sample, and then it can only be collected. Only on iOS, which means all the majority of the world's phone users, the Android users, we don't have this. It's called PNC. This is something that was sent to me by a listener. PNC, a water reminder. You get reminders to drink water based on how often you go. So you log every time you go, and it lets you know if you need to drink more water. Oh, it's a miracle.
Well, we know the importance of hydration in our body. It keeps, you know, keeps us healthy. It certainly keeps our muscles strong and very important, but I'm not sure I need a reminder on that, but
Listen, you're a medical doctor.
That's
you're
true.
Thinking about this stuff anyway. It's Dr. Kevin Most, and thanks to you and everybody at Northwestern, especially the nurses at Northwestern Medicine. Hope you have a great Monday.
You got it. Thanks. Talk to you guys soon.
Thanks, Doc.
Sponsored by Northwestern Medicine. The pursuit of better health care starts here. Speaking of that, that is where Steve Grzanich is right now in the Northwestern Medicine newsroom. He'll be back with your news next.
An animal!
Dan Hemp. Anchors a young Bears defense.
Just out of the good Bears news. Yesterday, Hamp will be in cause. I mean, I didn't hear the show. I was very disappointed, but, you know, Abigail was with us all weekend, and I had priorities. I think you understand that. When the 2 3/4-year-old says jump, you jump.
Speaking of 2 3/4, if you would have tuned into the broadcast, you may have seen Hamp showing his guns. he was sporting a yellow...
Oh, short sleeve?
Oh, short sleeve type shirt.
He doesn't have to show his guns. His guns just pop out of any shirt.
Yeah, but they were displayed.
Well, anyway, 41.9, I figured there couldn't be anything downbeat about this. Let's go to the phone with OB and a caller from yesterday. Whenever you're ready there, Super Joe.
You guys are more entertaining than smoking pot.
Wow. We got that going for us, which is nice.
You are dear to my heart, and I will keep listening to you guys, and they'll save me a lot of money because I don't have to buy any weed.
All right. Good to know. Just another typical GN listener as we go to Dan Hampton, brought to you by ChevyDriveChicago.com. Good morning, Hamp.
Hey, reforming people all over Chicagoland. It's a good thing. Can't just say no. Let's tune in to 720. Yeah, it's a good thing. And by the way, I had a sweatshirt on until we got to the studio, and then it got kind of hot and testy, and it came off. And that's how that all happened. It wasn't by design, but you know, when you watch a game where you win 41-9, and there's a lot of really, really good things that happen. Boy, at some point, you got to say, okay, let's put this into context. But you know, you know what 5-3 gets you? It gets you in it, and we're definitely in it now. And we've got two very important games at home, and we're going to have to play better than we did yesterday on offense to kind of stay in it. But
well, explain that. Explain that for a second. Explain that for a second, Amp, because people go 41 points. What do you mean we got to play better? Explain what they have to do better.
Well, everything lived vicariously through the defense. The defense scored two touchdowns early in the game, gave the offense, you know, a couple of other short field opportunities. Our quarterback, you know, struggled again. The running game barely got to 60 yards. And this is in a 60-minute contest. I think we had 11 first downs. The woeful Buffalo Bills had twice that, 22. So, you know, look. You know, you hate the card, you win 41-9, but that's why you have to listen to the post game. We will explain exactly why we expect more. We got to have more, especially now that we've got these very important division games coming up.
Well, let's focus on the defense for a moment. Does Roquan Smith's performance ease some of your concerns about him and his future with this team?
You know what? And I kind of predicted this early in the year that with the proliferation of the passing game, he's going to be more of a hybrid nickel kind of a linebacker. And yesterday, he was asked to cover some of the tight ends, and he made a lot of tackles, but most of those tackles were downfield. Again, the high point of yesterday's defensive performance was how aggressive our secondary was. But again, then you look at the Buffalo's receivers, not so good.
They were terrible.
The defensive line did enough. This defense, you know, I still think it's kind of like the Steve's Mustang when he was in high school. He left it idling in the parking lot waiting for, you know, Friday night. And that's kind of the way I kind of feel this defense. They're waiting for you-know-who to come back, and then they're going to kick it up a couple of notches. And if they do, then something special could happen.
The only thing wrong with Hamp's story, because he's right, it was a Trans Am, you know, with the big logo on the hood.
Tamp, just the offense, back to the offense. There were some strange second half calls with the Bears up big. I think it was 31-3 at the time, whatever the score might. You saw an aggressive offense. You saw Mitch Trubisky throw an interception on a downfield throw. But did you like the way that the Bears were keeping the pedal to the metal, if you will, with such a big lead?
Well, the great Ed Obradovich has brought this up many times, that when you get a team down, i.e. the Green Bay Packers in the opener, 20-0, you don't just go through your knitting. No, you try to stomp on them. And to their credit, they were trying, but again, execution is everything. And, you know, hey, come on, let's be realistic. You know, the knock on our quarterback is he's got to be more accurate. And he's got to be a little better and quicker with his reach. You know, it reminds me, we had this so-called quarterback when I played, and they kept thinking that he wasn't doing his film study. And so one night they gave him three blank takes to take home, back when it was, you know, VHS cassettes, and said, okay, this is all the blitz pickups for this weekend's game. They gave him the three cassettes, and they were blank. Anyway, the next morning he brings them back, and they said, what do you think? He goes, oh, this helped me a whole bunch.
So, busted!
You never know what they're doing. Sometimes it's the proof's in the pudding, and our pudding's not so good right now. Our quarterback has got to be better.
It's the Hall of Famer, Dan Hampton. All right, let's get ahead of Buffalo and where we go. And we'll get into this deeper, obviously, on Friday. But you said the next 2 weeks are big. Which game has you more concerned?
Well, the two teams we played yesterday, the Minnesota Vikings, mm-hmm, pounded Detroit. They sacked Matt Stafford 10 times. That's, bear-ish with the Khalil Mack info, but, you know, we need to have the same type of aggressive defensive attack. You know, and another thing, you know, yesterday we played Buffalo with their third-string quarterback. We played Green Bay when Aaron Rodgers got hurt because, you know, he was banged up. More good foot fortune. Detroit traded their best player in offense, Golden Tate, this past Wednesday or Tuesday, whenever the deadline was. So Detroit's offense is still in disarray. But don't laugh yet. They beat the New England Patriots a few weeks ago. So they're capable, but the one that really bothers me is Minnesota.
Right.
And everybody goes, okay, who's in the driver's seat? We're 5-3. Minnesota, I think you would have to think they believe that game in 2 weeks is going to decide who wins the division, mm-hmm, because they won 13 games last year. They feel like it's their division, and so this game against Detroit, we can't look through it. We've got to take care of business. But it's the one after that. It's the one prior to Thanksgiving. And like I said, we're in it now. But what we do now is only makes everything more important.
And last word, Dave.
Yeah, there's a lot of talk that Bears-Vikings game, by the way, is going to get flexed to an evening game at Soldier Field, which will only crank up the intensity a little more.
Sure.
So.
And we got to stay up late that night. Great.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. And you know what? Again, this is what you as a football player, as a fan, as a Chicago Bear, you know, alumni, this is what you look for. You know, the last marquee platform game that we had in, what, 4 or 5 years was that New England game 3 or 4 weeks ago. And we're close, but you got to win those. This is a game that you play your butt off against Buffalo, against the Jets, to get into a position where you can say, okay, now we're going to make a statement. So now, you know, we play, it's midnight, and now everybody's pushing their chips into the middle of the table. This is why you play the game. This is why you put the helmet on. This is going to get fun.
Hampo, B, Kaz, and even Mark Carmen, keeping Chicagoland and all of the Midwest weed-free as much as they possibly can. But they're entertaining broadcast every Sunday. And thanks, buddy. We'll talk to you later in the week.
No charge. Go Bears.
Oh, no charge.
No charge,
is he
yes.
Kidding? Sponsored by ChevyDriveChicago.com. Got a good text question for you in the MVPP in just a moment.
From the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
On 720 WGN. So be true to your school. All right,
just like all of you. We got a text question for you in just a second. First, meet today's most valuable person on the planet. And that's Sean Tiani. And if I pronounce that accurately, I believe I get extra credit. Is that right, Sean?
That is correct. So you get gold star.
Sean Tiani's principal of Sherwood Elementary School in Highland Park. Great mom that works here, Wendy, went on and on and on about you, so much so that we finally had to put you on because she wouldn't stop.
That's awesome. She's a great parent. But it's not me. It's really just the whole Sherwood community is an amazing place.
Well, that's nice of you to say. Robin Funky is a teacher at Sherwood Elementary, and her daughter, Ryan, was in the news, too, and from the GoFundMe page involving this story. Ryan Funky is a wonderful, loving, and energetic child. Last week, she spiked a temperature. Ultimately, it was initially thought to be flu, turned out to be acute flaccid myelitis, and as you know, Sean, this is a very scary thing that even though the numbers are small, it has popped up in Illinois.
It is, and it's one of those things, you know, we've all been there with our kids being sick with the flu, and she, you know, came in and was talking about how Ryan was up with the flu, and then the next day, you know, to wake up and to find out that she was having a hard time moving her arm and going to the hospital, it's a scary time for all of us here, especially those of us with kids, to see something this big hit so close to home.
There is a GoFundMe page. I believe it's simple. It's just searching Robin Funky, F-U-N-K-E is how you spell the last name, or Sherwood Elementary School, and probably pop it up as well, don't you think?
I believe it is under Josh Funky. Josh, her husband, actually is a PE teacher at Indian Trail School, one of our other schools in the district. Okay. So they're both part of our teacher family.
Thanks for clearing that up, because that's an important distinction, so we can find the page and help if we choose to do so. What's so special about your school?
I just think that the way the community has all come together, you know, as teachers, we, you know, got some PJs and books and some gift cards for meals, because when you're at the hospital, you know, you're not at home cooking. The parents, once they found out, the parents in her class as well as the rest of the school have all jumped on board and put together a basket with books and PJs and pillows and socks and blankets for Ryan. We've also been promoting the GoFundMe page, so I know that's been kind of where we've been having people go who want to help out. But more than anything, just seeing the kids coming in with cards and pictures just on their own, you know, coming in and saying, hey, can you make sure that Ryan gets this to know that we're thinking about her and, you know, we're hoping that she's feeling better. And all the positive energy must be working because she's on the road to recovery, not full yet, but, you know, making improvements each day.
And what people don't know, and obviously they don't know, are the hidden costs that come with this, because, you know, it's not just not working. It's figuring out a way to take care of the other kids in the family. It's figuring out how to pay for eating out because you're at a hospital. It's all of those things.
Yeah, it is. It is. And just so many, you know, even with insurance, there's medical costs, and it's, you know, they all add up. And so we want to help out as best as we can, just to help them, especially with the holidays coming up. You know, it's already kind of a crunch time. So,
well, it turns out Wendy was right. You're a decent guy.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. Keep up the great work at school, will you?
We definitely will, and I appreciate everybody's, you know, thoughts and prayers, as I know the Funky family does as well. So Ryan deserves it.
Search Josh Funky if you choose to help on a GoFundMe page, and you can. Thank you very much, Sean. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Have a great day.
He is the most valuable person on the planet, Sean Tiani. All right, now here's your text question, your text question of the day. Dave, I don't know if you saw this story because you were very busy with calling 14 different games this weekend.
Yes.
But there was a mom who was just trying to help. The mom's daughter is a golfer trying to make the LPGA Tour. Her name's Doris Chen. Well, Doris is on the 17th hole at Q School, and she's trying to make the number that she thinks she needs to make. And, oh, no, she hit it out of bounds. So you know what Doris's mom did? Kicked it back inbounds.
Oh, no, you can't do that.
You can't?
She kicked it back inbounds. Somebody saw that she kicked it back inbounds and ratted her out. Mom was just trying to help, and Doris got DQ'd.
We all want to help our kids, but.
Yeah. So what did you do for your kid that you shouldn't have done for your kid? There's your text question. 312-981-7200. I have one related to golf as well. I was caddying for Ross in a golf tournament. By that, I meant walking along, keeping score with the group, because the kids have to carry their own clubs.
Helicopter dad.
Or helping, you know, it's a distinction. So as I'm walking with this particular group, keeping score and making sure they're semi-focused, Ross is maybe 10, 11, 12 at the time. Ross is winning the tournament. So we get to about the 16th, 17th hole. It's very hot, and the strap breaks on his bag.
Mm.
And I try to fix his bag, and there's no fixing it. The strap had actually broken. And we're falling behind in this group, and I go, let me grab the bag. I'll grab the bag. Just walk up, hit your ball, I'll grab the bag. So I carried his bag for the rest of that hole. Can't do that.
That's not so bad.
DQ'd.
DQ'd?
DQ'd.
But were you aware that that was a violation?
Yeah, I was aware after. I didn't think about it at the time.
Well, that's what I mean.
No, I wasn't aware I was cheating at the time. No.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, don't you think the mom knew when she kicked the ball back in?
Yeah. I think she probably did, and I think whoever ratted me out for carrying the bag probably knew as well.
I got to go to the judges on that one.
Yeah. So what did you do for your kid that you shouldn't have done for your kid? 312-981-7200. And your headlines are next on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Monday mornings, you always check in with Ryan Nobles at CNN. You think he might be a little busy? But not too busy for this show. Good morning, my friend.
Never too busy for Steve Cochran. You know
that's
that.
What I like to hear. You know what, Ryan? I don't know about you. Because this is who I am. I drove around to a couple of the early voting places on Saturday. Cold day here in Chicago,
wow,
by the way.
Wild weekend for you, Steve. Wild weekend.
Pretty nutty.
I'm impressed.
Pretty nutty.
Yeah.
Lines of both on Saturday afternoon, the two that I went to, lines of both out the door. So that was good to see. I like that.
Well, there's no question, Steve, that early voting across the country is at a pace that we've never seen before. And you can chalk that up to two different things. I think there's no doubt that enthusiasm is off the charts for both Republicans and Democrats. But also, I think Americans are getting more accustomed to this idea that in most states, you don't have to wait until election day to vote. And I think that's almost a cultural shift to a certain extent. Most of us grew up with this idea that we all gather at polling places on the same exact day, and a lot of states are changing those laws, and that takes a bit of an adjustment. So I do think that's one of the reasons you see these early vote numbers are really starting to pop.
Now, here's the thing, too. I'm sure you've run into folks like this, but there were a couple people that I overheard in conversation going, what difference does it make if I don't vote? And that conversation comes up again and again and again. Here's my question to you, if you're driving to work or wherever. First off, thank you very much for listening, and thank you for supporting the show. I appreciate that more than you know. But having said that, my question to you, if you're really serious about not voting, is what are you accomplishing by not voting? What does that prove? What does that show? What does that do? Because if you're not voting, logically, the extension of that is you're just depressed by the negative advertising, or you don't believe your vote changes anything, or you don't believe in the candidates. Okay, well, then what's the one way you could change that if you took part in the process? So my question, Ryan, is what do you accomplish by not voting?
Nothing, Steve, nothing. And I think that, you know, most Americans and probably a lot of your listeners don't swim in politics like somebody like I do as a political reporter. But I can tell you, I have covered so many close, razor-thin elections that I can definitively tell you that every vote matters. In fact, I covered that race in Virginia last year. in the House of Delegates, where it literally ended in a tie and they had to draw the winner out of a hat. And not only was that race for an important House of Delegates seat, it actually decided who controlled the Virginia House of Delegates in terms of That's Republicans crazy. And Democrats. So the idea, and you know, and that was in a tiny election. There was like 50,000 votes or something in that race. So every single vote matters. I mean, I've covered, you know, what I'm in Florida this morning in Tallahassee, and you know what I spent all weekend doing? Researching the recount laws in Florida, because there's a very good chance that this race here could end up as close as less than 0.5%. That would require an automatic recount.
Every and I thought I had matters. A wild weekend.
I know, right? Exactly.
Ryan.
But yeah, I do think people need to understand that every vote certainly does matter.
Okay, so both the Republicans and the Democrats put their closing arguments forth yesterday. The president was in this weekend, Palm Beach in Florida. They had a big rally there. The former president, Barack Obama, was here in Chicago at the UIC Pavilion. What were the closing arguments for both parties as they get ready for tomorrow's results?
Well, I think the big thing that we're seeing here, Justin, is that we no longer live in a country where moderate voters have become the focus of the candidates that we're running. We've seen both of these campaigns, both Democrat and Republican, truly believe that what they need to do is reach out to the base of their party and drive their base out. And that kind of moderate, independent voter that has often decided elections in races all across America is no longer as important as it once was. And so for Republicans and the president, that meant hammering immigration, you know, stoking fears about this migrant caravan that's coming up through Central America that has no chance of being here anytime soon. And for Democrats, it's talking about health care, warning that if you elect Republicans that coverage for pre-existing conditions is going to go away. I think both sides perhaps stoking fears a little more than the actual reality, but that's where we become in politics, where you see these candidates trying to drill down at the things that they think most impact the kind of emotional sensibilities of voters and just hit that same point over and over and over again. And we'll see Tuesday which side had the more convincing argument.
Where's your beat? Where are you going to be?
So I'm in Tallahassee this morning. I am kind of covering all the Florida races through the day today, but tomorrow night I'm going to be at Andrew Gillum's headquarters. He's the mayor of Tallahassee and is going to be, if elected, has the opportunity to become the first African-American governor in the state of Florida. He'd be only the third African-American governor in American history. It's one of the more fascinating races. Ron DeSantis is his opponent, is a former congressman, has in many ways run as a Donald Trump clone. Had an ad during his primary where he was reading to his infant son a story about Donald Trump building a wall on the southern border.
Right.
They couldn't be more different candidates. And I do think one of the reasons that Florida is so fascinating is because it plays into this idea of what I was talking to you about before, about how candidates are just reaching out to the partisan ends of their party. Andrew Gillum, endorsed by Bernie Sanders, has touted that. Ron DeSantis, endorsed by Donald Trump, he's not running away from that at all. And you think of Florida as being a swing state, and it's a swing state in that it elects Republicans and Democrats, but it's really a state filled with an equal number of highly partisan voters, and that's how we've seen this campaign run.
That Tallahassee race was interrupted after that shooting on Friday. Mm-hmm. With
the yoga studio.
That's right. The thing about Florida and this election is that, you know, we've kind of had a plan as to how we were going to cover it, and there have been so many big events that have happened in Florida since Labor Day that have just thrown this campaign off its rails. I mean, the other big example, in addition to that shooting last night or over the weekend, was the hurricane. I mean, it took Governor Rick Scott, who's running for the U.S. Senate, off the campaign trail for 2.5 weeks. It was a direct hit on Tallahassee, where Andrew Gillum is the mayor. And, you know, in Florida, hurricane politics are really, really sure. crucial. People, you know, it's part of their livelihood and part of their well-being. So, yeah, I mean, events have really driven this race, and I think it's going to have a big impact on the vote on Tuesday night.
It is the great Ryan Nobles. Now, you have 14 kids, and the text question of the day is, did you ever do anything for your kid that you shouldn't have done? This is because a woman following her daughter, trying to qualify for the LPGA Tour in golf, kicked her ball back inbounds after her daughter hit it out of bounds and got her disqualified. So what about you? You got anything you want to confess to here, something you did for your kids that you shouldn't have done?
Man, listen, I hearing that story, I definitely feel sympathy for the mother. I think that I would probably think about doing instinctually. I think you just do that.
Yeah.
I can't think of a specific. I mean, my kids are so little right now; they're not in the competitive environment yet, where they might need a little boost from dad in order to get them over the finish line. But I as much as I'd like to say I'd make the right choice in that situation, something there's a dad gear that kicks in. That you don't even realize. I know one time at a minor league baseball game in Richmond, I lost my mind on some kids that were in the upper deck that were throwing water balloons down. It's not the same exact thing, but after I just started screaming at these kids, my wife said, "Where did that come from? I didn't know you had that in you." And I was like, "Well, when you're around your kids, a completely different part of you comes out, I think."
Well, here's one from the 224. My mom hid everything from my dad, whether we broke curfew, a vase, or shattered a 55-gallon fish tank. She always took the hit. How about that? Mom getting it done. And you know what? I'm surprised we haven't heard from yet, and we will, Ryan. And when you get a fifth grader in your life, because your oldest is how old?
My oldest is 8, so third grade, yeah.
Third grade, a couple more years. The science project. The science project you have to do, in my case, it was the catapult, where I built two of the worst catapults ever constructed because I have no skills. And the kids had to go in, and then the science dads built working volcanoes with actual lava, and you name it. That could be your temptation. That could be the one.
Well, I do have to say that the children of journalists and broadcasters are always at a disadvantage on Science Fair Day. There's no doubt about that.
You are right, my friend. Thank you. Good luck tomorrow.
All right, guys. Have a great week.
That's Ryan Nobles. Very busy from CNN, but always takes the time for us. All right, 312-981-7200. We come back. You guys confess. We've got parents on this show.
And we have Hawks tickets.
We're going to do the Hawker Riddle next, too. So stand by for that.
Your Black Hawk tickets,
Hawks and Blues next Wednesday, November 14th. You got plenty of time to plan, courtesy of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing for all the right reasons. Four Seasons online at FourSeasonsHeatingCooling.com. And Ro Khan and Anna DeVontis give you a second chance to win this afternoon at 4:40. Here's the Hawker Riddle. Isn't it exciting that John DeCoste writes these riddles for us? Isn't it great that we're the only one that does riddles?
I think so.
Yes. You're not getting this on V103.
No, you're not.
You're not getting this with Eric in the Mix. You're not getting this anywhere else in town.
No, because no one does riddles.
No one's doing riddles. Created by Evans in 1851 in a town named for Evans, when all was said and done, the Academy Leader Emmy, Tony as well, and the most famous booth named for Dave does now dwell. Can you tell me what we're talking about? Want it one more time? You look confused.
Yeah,
I'll give it to you again.
Yeah.
Created by Evans in 1851 in a town named for Evans when all was said and done. The Academy Leader, Emmy, Tony as well, and the most famous booth named for Dave does now dwell. I could even say where am I talking about, not just what am I talking about.
Yeah.
Where am I talking about? Okay. 312-981-7200 is the number. 815 texture. When I was in fifth grade, I'd gotten an injury at recess. I split my forehead open, needed 27 stitches. My dad drove me to the hospital, got my head wrapped in a giant bandage, looked like I was wearing a huge headband, took me back to school to catch the bus to Girl Scout camp. My parents were divorced. I lived with my mother. Never told her about the injury. She picked me up Sunday morning. Bandage wasn't all white by then, but she never told Mom. It's really more on Dad than it is, you know, protecting. He just chose not to. Dad. Like this one. In school, my son was in the advanced art program and had a ton of extracurricular activities. He had a simple painting project that was due, and I helped him because of all of his other activities. I'm a pretty good artist. The instructor was so impressed with his simple painting, he asked my son to come in the next day to recreate it for the entire class.
Oh, no.
That's always a fear.
That's a sitcom. Yeah. It's a simple painting of a canoe on a lake. However, he had to confess to the instructor it was my doing, and my son did, in fact, fail the project.
In fourth grade, I wasn't the best speller, but I was really good at everything else. And so I had straight A's, except for this spelling and penmanship. I have terrible penmanship, as you know, that were letter grades on a report card. So it was going to keep me off the A honor roll. And my dad was on the school board, and he may have been a part of a group that commissioned to have penmanship and spelling put as pass fails instead of letter grades so that people could still be on the A.
You're telling me that he changed the curriculum to protect his daughter.
I think I was not the only person that's affected.
So you say. Well, the investigation will get to the bottom of this.
So you could get an E for excellent or like I for improved or things like that, but it won't keep you off the A honor roll.
I am so ashamed.
Because they determined that spelling and handwriting were more skills than academic achievements.
Shocked. Dave?
Nothing I really did.
Oh, come on.
Of course.
Okay, but my mother, for me, I think it was seventh or eighth grade, biology. The biology teacher, this is really scary biology teacher, mean. Everybody knew it. I mean, that was his rep. And I went for a few days, and I said, Mom, I got to get out of this biology class. Because there was another biology teacher who was really nice and didn't give the kids 5 hours of homework every night in seventh grade. And my mom went to school and got me switched to the other biology class.
Hey, there you go.
And, you know, I'm thinking she probably shouldn't have done that. But I was very appreciative.
Yeah, well, your kids weren't because you didn't do anything for them.
No.
You made them do the work. Let's see. Mary and Justin will get in here with their own horrible stories of helping their children. Stand by for that in a few minutes here. Dean's coming up as well, and Governor Rauner as well. J.B. Pritzker's been invited on the show. Did not return the phone call. All right, coming up, Stories That Matter.
Do we have a winner real quick?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but I was going to say this first.
Okay.
Coming up, Stories That Matter with Steve Gersanich from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. Cynthia and Elgin got it right. The Hawker Riddle. Northwestern University.
Woo-hoo.
That's your winner, and we're back after this.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you?
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, honey, you know I love you more than like I should. Yeah.
Dean Richards is here, and unfortunately, Dean, here on More on Entertainment, the news isn't always good. We have to start with sad news today. Mike Parker passed.
This is a very sad story. The longtime reporter for CBS, WBBM.
Big, tough guy.
Big, tough guy. No nonsense. Straight away, you know, just great reporter. Went into Northwestern with heart trouble almost a week ago. And passed away last night, 75 years old.
Yeah, God bless him. 75 isn't old anymore.
No, it really is not. But just, you know, in the truest tradition of really great Chicago, no-nonsense reporters, unrelenting in following stories down. Nice guy. Met him several times. Super nice guy. And, you know, he'll be remembered for that baritone voice.
Yep.
And his incredible writing. I mean, his writing was
talented, dude.
You know, so on the mark and so well done. Joined CBS in 1980, left for a couple of years, but came back, retired in 2016 from Rock Island. I never knew he was from Rock Island.
I didn't know that either.
Yep.
And a name you may not know unless you're a jazz buff, but you should. Roy Hargrove passed this week.
Yeah, he's one of these guys, you know, I remember from my smooth jazz days.
Yeah, I can imagine.
We used to lay down the Roy Hargrove tracks quite a bit.
He was great.
He was a jazz trumpeter, and along with Branford Marsalis and a handful of other really talented jazz musicians, kind of brought back the traditions of jazz, the old style bebop style of jazz, and kind of led the way for, you know, these young guys keeping the genre alive. And he passed away. He had been on dialysis for the last several years, has been going through kidney failure, and then ultimately died of cardiac arrest over the weekend. 49 years old.
That's crazy.
49 years old.
That's just crazy.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we're going to crank it up this weekend in a little place I like to call the Jazz Cellar, which is actually my basement where I just go down and play jazz records in the dark.
Yeah, I know. Mm. Smoke cigarettes.
But our best is family, obviously.
Clink
as
ice.
Well.
Steve sits there with a glass with just ice in the glass, nothing
right.
else, and just clinks it around so it sounds like a real jazz.
Yeah, and you know, I sound like I'm cooler than I actually am.
And it talks in hush whispers.
Right. Right. And by the way, all of the old staff from your old radio station lives in my basement. All of them.
Sorry to hear that.
Yeah.
Must be one smooth bass.
It really is. Big weekend at the box office for what movie?
Woo, Bohemian Rhapsody, the Freddie Mercury Queen biopic.
You love this movie.
I do love this movie. I unapologetically sort of love it. It's celebratory of this great music that we grew up with Freddie Mercury and Queen. Rami Malek's performance as Freddie Mercury, I think, is fantastic. I would be shocked if he didn't get nominated for an Academy Award for this. I think he's so great. It's celebratory. It's extremely accurate for its depiction of the 70s and 80s, for all of its highs and lows, for all of its excesses and, you know, things that, the things that ultimately killed Freddie Mercury, being diagnosed HIV positive and then dying of complications of AIDS. Very accurate to its time period. There are a few things chronologically in the movie that, you know, some people are complaining about. Didn't bother me one bit. I had such a great time watching the movie, but it took in way beyond expectations. $50 million for its opening weekend. It's now the second biggest musical biopic ever, second only to Straight Outta Compton.
Is that right? All right. Well, before I let you go, though, will you do me a favor and take Justin to see it? Because no one in his family will go with him.
I tried like three or four times. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. I wanted a date night on Friday night. I wanted to sneak it in on Saturday afternoon. Was thinking maybe a post-Bears game showing. Couldn't get it done. I know.
Yeah. So if you would, I know you've seen it.
Notice Dean is not agreeing to take it.
Yeah, no, he really hasn't.
So I think Justin's going to have to
take
himself.
Dean and I have watched films together.
We have gone to the same screenings together.
But did Dean know you were going to be there? He may have not gone.
No, we keep one seat between us.
Several times I just like, ooh, Justin's here. I think I'll go sit over there.
Well, you know the power you have on your Sunday show. Maybe make Dave Schwann take him.
Just don't have Nick take him because Nick hated it.
Did he really?
He hated it.
Nick did not like
the
movie.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, sometimes Nick stays up too late. All right, buddy, I'll catch you.
Everyone's entitled to their opinion. Justin, I'll be happy to take you. We can share a bucket of popcorn.
I love it. Thank you.
Now it got awkward.
And Dean, I loved how you and Nick were going at it, texting back and forth about it.
I didn't go back and forth with Nick at all.
Where'd you see that?
Wasn't that on Facebook?
I responded. He said that...
You were just talking about it. Casually.
Not with Nick. I posted one.
I gotta look at my phone.
I read that Nick was trashing it.
Yes.
And I posted there was something that I felt was inaccurate. Nick said that Freddie Mercury never went solo, and he did. So I commented on that, but I don't get into the back and forths like that. And
no, you just answered the question.
With critics, I don't, because Nick's entitled to think whatever he wants.
No, not
anybody
really.
Who doesn't like it is entitled to think whatever they want.
I just personally feel that
opinion of the movie.
No, I feel if your opinion's counter to mine or anyone on this show, it really
wrong.
You're wrong.
It is an example, though, of how Mary interpreted that as going at it, just because she read it in her own voice.
Yeah. Oh, she's apparently never seen me really go at it with somebody on Facebook.
And here's the thing.
I love both of you, so I just wanted to keep reading. It was pretty
That's
fun.
What she says while she tries to start trouble.
Hey.
All right. Thank you, buddy.
Bye.
Governor Rauner, Diana Rauner is here as well in just a moment. And still to come on the program after 9 o'clock, Christmas Pete. Oh, boy. What's that going to be about? Well, stick around and find out.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
It's 8:26. Governor Rauner's here. Diana Rauner's here. And J.B. Pritzker was invited and once again chose not to answer the request for an appearance. So take that as you will. Governor Rauner, good morning.
Steve, great to be with you all. Thanks.
Nice to see you. You know, I was looking at a list of what's gone down in the last 4 years. And as you know, one of the humps you've had to get over in this campaign is trying to tell people what you've done. Is the problem that your stuff that you've accomplished maybe isn't sexy enough? Like, for instance, the accounting practices that this state had. I don't know, 20, 40, 60, 80 different accounting practices that had to be put together?
Yeah, so we had 235 different software programs being run across the state of Illinois, none of which interacted with each other. So we've transformed the state government. Actually, we're saving hundreds of millions of dollars because we're digitizing everything. We're actually now putting on the entire state government on mobile phones, mobile apps. We're taking turnaround time processing applications or licenses from months to days.
Do you have the accountant vote locked up? Are the accountants going to vote for you?
That's the trouble. The constituents who actually care about digitizing is not large. And explaining it takes more than a 10-second soundbite.
It's been a tough campaign. You got less than 24 hours to go. What are your thoughts this morning?
Well, we're here again. Thank you for the time. We're here to remind everyone how important this election is. You know, most people don't vote. It's just a simple fact. And so much is on the line in this election, and all of us as Americans have a duty to vote. Democracy doesn't work unless citizens get involved. Reminding everyone, please get out and vote. I firmly believe this election is not about Republicans versus Democrats. I really believe this is about all of us as citizens of Illinois working for a better future for our children and our grandchildren by standing against a very corrupt political machine that's dominated our state for decades, forced our small businesses out of state, given us the highest property taxes in America, given us the ranking as the most corrupt city in America and one of the most corrupt states in America. We've got to change, and that change takes time. It's hard. It's painful. We've made progress in our first 4 years, and we're asking for one more term, 4 more years, to continue the effort to get the change that we need.
It's admirable that you have made this election local and talking about local issues. But if you listen to the national parties, both the Republicans and the Democrats, they're talking about midterms. They're talking about the president. And I have to ask the question, does it help or hurt that you're not in step and in line with the national Republican Party, especially the president, Donald Trump?
Well, you know what? I am a person who represents the people of Illinois, their interests to the best of my ability. And I take positions that I firmly believe are right. Sometimes they align with what the National Republican Party views as right. Sometimes they don't. That's okay with me. I call it as I see it. I want lower taxes. I want more jobs. I want to end the corruption through term limits. I'll give you an example. One of the issues it's a hot-button issue all over the nation, and this is health care and coverage of pre-existing conditions in health care. I believe the National Republicans have made a mistake by not being strong and crystal clear that we will protect and defend the coverage of pre-existing conditions. I think that's only appropriate. We don't control that primarily at the state level, although I can advocate for it in our work at the Affordable Care Act. But again, here in Illinois, I've got to fight for what I believe is right for our citizens, and that's what we try to do every day.
Diana Rauner is here. What's the one thing that people have wrong about your husband that drives you the craziest?
That's a long list.
What's wrong?
What drives me crazy about my husband, or is there something else?
Those are two separate shows, aren't they?
Yeah. No, you know, I think people really don't understand how deeply responsible he is. You know, I always tell Bruce people that Bruce is the eldest child of a family where his mom was sick when he was growing up, and he was the protector and the caretaker for the family in the way that eldest children often are. And Bruce never talks about that because it's, you know, it's private and quiet, but that's why he's such a responsible guy, and he is the sort of the caretaker. He sees himself as always protecting the vulnerable and the weak, and that is really what drove him into politics. It's what I particularly am so proud of him for. You know, he's always trying to do the best for the most vulnerable.
You should be proud of that, but I guess I respect as well that you didn't want to talk about it a whole lot, but this campaign's just been so ugly. And, you know, you got to get along with the mayor of Chicago, so let's say you win tomorrow. Regardless of whether you and Rahm ever have coffee again, what are you going to do with the new mayor, whoever the new mayor turns out to be? Because Chicago has to get along with the state.
No, that's exactly right. And I will be having coffee with Mayor Rahm Emanuel, you know, in the future. I still consider us friends. We've obviously disagreed. I will say, again, I respect much of what he's tried to accomplish. The tragedy of the Laquan McDonald shooting changed the whole dynamic for the mayor completely in almost every regard, and really took the city a step back, and my relationship with him a step back. That said, whoever is the next mayor, I look forward to working with. Chicago's success drives Illinois' success, and Illinois' success is hugely impactful for the prosperity of the people of Chicago. And I've worked hard to be a governor for everyone. We've had a divided state for decades and decades, the city versus downstate, this or that. I come from a farm family, but I was born in Chicago. I love the city of Chicago. I lived on the north side when I was young, and this is a great city. I believe it's the greatest city in the world, and I look forward to working very closely with the next mayor to get good progress on things like economic opportunity, more jobs, and ending the corruption.
The budget showdown, which was a big part of your 4-year tenure here, had, you know, as you mentioned, Diana, just the idea that, you know, the vulnerable, those were the people that were on the line. And we saw this over and over, and we saw social service agencies affected by this. We saw people who didn't have the means affected by this, which became a game of political chicken. And regardless if it was the speaker's fault or not, you were a part of that.
No, exactly.
So what do you say to those people who saw their services be depleted or possibly taken away because of an idealistic fight in Springfield?
Well, it's a tragedy. It's a failure. Frankly, it's all of us as elected officials let the people down through that budget impasse. Really, there's no good excuse for it. It's tragic. People were hurt in that budget process, and all of us share responsibility for that. I've worked to have balanced budgets, and I frankly have worked to make sure that we have one of the best human services safety nets in the world. I believe that there's a role for government to support the most vulnerable, and I've worked and advocated for that. And that's a fundamental point that I think gets lost among some of the partisan bickering. I think there's a difference not in whether we support the most vulnerable, but how do we best pay for it? I personally believe we pay for it through stronger economic growth and by reforming the cost of government bureaucracy itself, not cutting human services, not cutting education, but shrinking the cost of government bureaucracy. That's the way to pay for the human services safety net. My opponent and many on the other side say, no, don't reduce the bureaucracy. And we don't have to grow the economy more. Let's raise the tax rates. I think it's a mistake, and that's what's at stake in this election.
Well, and one of the things I think you deserve credit for is scholarshiping offers for kids to get out of bad schools into better schools.
That's right.
You know, which conservatives have always pushed for. Having said all of that, as much as there's a concern about J.B. Pritzker listening to Mike Madigan on how to run the state if he were to win, there's a constant question about you being too stubborn to govern.
If you really look below the partisan bickering and mudslinging, down underneath, if you look at my specific proposals, all compromises and compromise after compromise, and I'll compromise more. And I've said most anything is on the table. It's the nature of a divided government and a two-party system. The other side, led by the speaker, was really pushing for a tax hike with no reforms. And it's a mistake to raise taxes without reforming our system, because if we never change so that our government spending is always growing faster than our economy, we'll never fix our problems. We'll chase our tail down, and we'll always have deficits, and we'll always have higher and higher taxes. We won't have a good future for our children or our grandchildren.
Regardless of the outcome tomorrow, Steve has thrown out early voting numbers that are record high.
Crazy
everywhere,
high.
Texas and things. Will you be proud of Illinois if we show a high participation rate in voting?
Absolutely. You know, I love the state of Illinois, and one of the things I've worked hardest to do is make sure that voting is easy here. Everyone who should vote gets out and votes, and we make it a very simple, very straightforward process. I want everybody to vote. That's the way democracy works the best. Obviously, don't want anybody who shouldn't vote to vote or to have any fraud, but I don't believe that fraud is a huge issue.
That's a ridiculous argument that Trump's made.
And I believe in streamlining the process, and if you look at what I've proposed and the legislation and action I've signed with the State Board of Elections, I and our administration have done more to streamline and ease the process of voting than most administrations in America.
Okay, the final thing, there's news out this morning about more about the documents that were taken from the Legionnaires from your office and what happened in Quincy, Illinois. Documents that say that that more evidence of you knowing about this and choosing a political path as opposed to a path that is to give public the information.
This is a BEZ story?
The BEZ story. Dave McKinney writes, it says, it fleshes out an image, this is a quote from the story, of a governor's office repeatedly overruling its own top experts in order to control and constrict what information was made public about successive deadly Legionnaire outbreaks. And this is a story, it's one that's hot right now. What do you say to that?
Well, I say that there's a lot of tragic spin going on right now, politicizing the infections of our veterans. Our veterans are our heroes. I've been a lifelong advocate for our veterans. And our administration and the leaders of our departments acted immediately and always have put the public health and the safety and health of our veterans first and foremost. And this issue about this particular boiler if you look at the facts, that was addressed immediately with the CDC and immediately put into the report that went out to the general public. We have put the safety and health of the veterans first at all times.
Last question. What's reasonable to think, and I'd ask both of you this, what's reasonable to think could be accomplished in the pension issue that chokes our state to death and over the next 4 years could really do damage?
Well, Steve, to your point from earlier, if you look at what we've done in our first term, we got $500 million in pension reform by ending end-of-career spiking. Is saving us $500 million annually. So we've made progress. And I believe in my second term, right in the beginning of the of it, we can get the pension reform that the Democrats and unions actually proposed 7 years ago. I'm willing to do that as a compromise. It doesn't go far enough. I'd like to go further. But if we do what they proposed, we can save $1 billion at the state level and $1 billion at the local level. That's material. That can go into human services. That can go into our education system. And I believe we'll get that done in the next year.
You think that's possible, then, to make significant impact? Diana Rauner, when you're traveling around the state, do people talk pensions, or are they too busy with all the other hot-button issues?
You know, people aren't really talking about pensions, but I do believe that everyone understands that we are on an unsustainable path. I don't think people recognize that we spend 26 cents of every dollar, every tax dollar on pensions. And that number is only going to go up and up from here. We have a pretty strange pension system. It was rigged 25 years ago so that we'd be paying the bill right now. I think we all know that. And it has to be reformed.
And both parties are guilty of this. But the thing we all know this, that there is a way to go forward with this where anybody who's already contributed their money in gets their 100%, but everything going forward has to change farther than it already has.
That's exactly right. That's Steve. That's a very good summary. That's what we have to do, and it's the right thing to do. I think we can get bipartisan agreement on it. Other states have done this. We are capable of doing it. We have a constitutional protection on our pensions that's tougher than most states, but I'm fine with that. We should protect our pensions, but there's ways that are constitutional that treat our employees fairly to change for the future that's more affordable.
We'll let you go on this. 708 texter, I have to be honest, Governor Rauner really angered me until a couple of months ago. I felt like he was a bull in a china shop, but I've heard him on your show several times and wished that I had heard him this way throughout. That said, good luck tomorrow, Governor. Hope you get another 4 years. That's Carol from the 708 who's voting.
Well, thank you, Carol, and thank you for everyone. It's an honor to serve, and I hope we have an opportunity to continue to make progress to get the change that we need.
Thanks for both of you to coming in.
Thank you.
The time. Enjoy your last day of campaigning. whatever this turns out to be, I can't imagine what a slog it's been. So I hope you enjoy having a little family time.
It's been great. Thank you very much.
All right, quick break. Back with your headlines.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Texters chiming in on Governor Rauner and Diana Rauner being here. We'll sum some of that up coming up. Also, your text question is still out there. And that stuff you did for your kid that you shouldn't have done after a woman kicked her daughter's ball back in bounds so she could stay in LPGAQ school. Mom! Coming up, Porter Moser. Little preview. Can they do it again? Or is it Sister Jane going to need to talk to a higher power? That's all on the way.
Custer stops, fires a 15-footer, bounces, and it goes! It went in! 3.6 seconds left. Schofield to inbound, into Bone, on the run, into the front court, top of the key, three at the buzzer. No! And Loyola wins! The Ramblers win it! On to the Sweet 16!
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
In the middle of what was one of the busiest sports weekends of the year, we're back into college basketball. It's college hoops, Dave. I don't know if you heard.
Gets going tomorrow. The season starts tomorrow.
That?
How about that?
And can Loyola do it again? That's the problem, Coach Porter Moser joins us. That's the problem, Coach. You do it once, you got to do it again.
That's the opening question, right?
That's not even a question. That's a statement.
That's right. I tell you, I could listen to that soundcast all day, what you just played. But I tell you, you know what, though? The thing that I love, though, is pride is back with the Loyola Ramblers.
Sure.
You know, it's always been such a prideful school academically. Just great people. And to get some pride in the athletics that hadn't been there, you know, since the mid-'80s with that 85 team. And so just really excited to see the alumni get behind it. Now, you know, now I hope that we need everybody on board. We have to fill our arena night in and night out. You can't have a championship program if that arena is empty. And I hope everyone got excited about how we play and they come fill this arena starting tomorrow night.
Well, there you go. That's a good pitch. And by the way, I know you want to rightfully hype the alumni and the student body and obviously a lot of great talent coming back to this team. But you ought to be proud of yourself, too, man. None of this happens without you.
Well, it was accumulation. It really is, Steve. I'll be honest with you. It was a collaboration of a lot of people. I have really good assistant coaches, the players. But for me personally, what was cool was I was that kid that had that Chicago Finest poster of Andre Dawson, Walter Payton, and Michael Jordan in their tuxedos on my wall. I was, I worked Michael Jordan's camp at Elmhurst College. I went to Ray Myers basketball camp. And, I mean, I was a senior in high school when the Bears won the Super Bowl. And I grew up that kid that was just so diehard Chicago sports. And to have the city behind us, our team, as a Chicago kid, that was just, that was the really, really cool part for me.
You talk about filling the arena, and the season starts tomorrow night against the Kangaroos of Missouri, Kansas City.
But the Ruse, Dave. The Ruse.
The Ruse.
Yes.
But you're already off to a pretty good start, it sounds like, selling out a couple of the games. Everybody is excited, I know, about the Nevada matchup. So from that standpoint, it seems like you've gotten off to a good start.
You know, I'm really, really greedy with this because, our arena has kind of like a Duke feeling. I don't want to oversell it, but it's like, Duke didn't expand the arena. It's really small. But it's like so hard to play in Duke because it's so loud, they're right on top of you. We have 4,800 seats. 4,800. We've got to be able to sell that thing out every game. And I know we've got some already, which is the first time we've ever had. But I hope people come in there because there's not really a bad seat in there. It's all a bowl and it's right down. So
yeah, 4,800, you're not going to have obstructed view, are you? 4,800, everybody can see.
No, there's no, there's not any rafter seats.
Justin.
Last year, the players on your squad that went to the Final Four, they became folk heroes. I mean, we like you said, Chicago got behind them. As some have moved on and some can stay, what's the strength of this new Loyola team?
The strength is the culture, the togetherness, that, it's not just one guy. And the culture really good. I mean, how much they've invested in, the culture's, anybody's culture, a business culture, anything, is about your expectations and values and your standards and your beliefs. And these guys, we don't have any big goals. We got just standards, how we're going to play every day. And unselfishly, we space, we defend. And, so Clayton Custer and Marcus Towns are our two seniors. Those two guys, they're not going to have different roles. They're just going to have to do their role better. We lose three really good seniors, Dante Ingram, Ben Richardson, and Andre Jackson. But anytime you have seniors that you lose and you have a good culture, it's opportunity for some other guys to come in and step in. And that's what's going to take some time, but I think there's a huge – I like some of our young guys that are going to get that opportunity. It's going to take some time. Like Lucas Williamson and Cam Crutwig, two local guys, they didn't start set the world on fire in the beginning, but then they ended up being like really good players for us. And I think that's going to happen with our freshmen and some of our newcomers.
And Crutwig was really good in the tournament for you. And I have to ask you this, Coach, because I had a front row seat for this last year when Northwestern, coming off their NCAA appearance, they were predicted to contend for the Big Ten. And things didn't work out that way. Now, granted, there are other circumstances with them, but you guys have raised the bar as far as expectations now. And with that, I suppose, comes a little bit of pressure. But how do you make sure that these guys kind of stay focused on having the kind of season that will get you back to where you want to be like you had last year?
We were asked that question every step of the way. Last year, and that's always like a question to answer, like, how do you stay focused with we won the conference tournament and then we had this big celebration at our arena for Selection Sunday, and everyone asked me, how do I stay focused? And after the Miami game, every game going to the Sweet 16, and my answer was the same. I mean, we have huge expectations within our locker room, and there's nothing that somebody's outside expectation that's going to like really bother me. I mean, because it doesn't matter to me. I mean, our expectations in our locker room. And the other thing is we kind of just always said, we are going to have this huge focus when it's time to film, time to practice. But we wanted to enjoy the journey. And when your culture is kind of like that, like where you're not caring who gets the credit, I'm not worrying about stuff like that, that they enjoyed the journey. And now I get it. This pressure is, now it kind of simmered all summer long and now we're ready to go again. I went out and spent a day with Brad Stevens with the Celtics 2 weeks ago. As spent the whole day with him just trying to pick his brain because he went back-to-back. And not that he went Final Four back-to-back, but he regained his culture.
Right.
Mm-hmm. One thing he told me, he said, it's real. It's real. The expectation says you got to enjoy it. He goes, you got to get to the point where the guys are enjoying it. And I've talked to Clayton and Marcus, man. The pressure, the weight of the world is not on those two. We have a shared responsibility to go with our shared vision. And that's, I want them to enjoy this. I mean,
sure.
I don't have any regrets on how hard they're playing. And sometimes guys get into this and they want to skip steps. They want to, hey, I don't want to go through October, November. I want to go right to March. And that's what a lot of people have problems with. And I want them to enjoy this opening game, enjoy every game along the way.
Well, that's what makes you a good coach. Last question. Any concerns about Sister Jean's focus?
You know what? No. I want her to continue to focus in on praying for the referees. I want her to continue that. I wanted to send her to like West Palm Beach or something for like a month, because you talk about someone with energy level. Like she wouldn't say no.
Right.
I mean, she would do everything. Like, I'll do this interview. I'll go here. She walks out, and it is truly paparazzi. Everybody wants a picture
sure.
with her, and she doesn't say no. And so I kind of want to just. I think she's all geared up to go. She gave us our team opening prayer. She'll give us our prayer tomorrow night, just like we've always done for years. And I think she's ready to go, too.
Now 99 years old, and she's just getting started. How about that?
Isn't that amazing to have someone's outlook at 99 like hers?
Oh, it's tremendous. Come on. I mean, we should all be so lucky to have a chance to get to know her or watch her, and I hope she's as good luck for you guys and as good work for you guys as she was last year. Coach, congratulations on a great run. I look forward to you doing it all again. Yeah.
Hey, thanks for having me.
See you later. That's Coach Porter Mosier. Why am I having trouble saying the word Porter? Porter Mosier.
You got to say, when he talks about the kids' names, mm-hmm. like that had like an electricity. There's an energy because
no
those are the names that we followed through the Final Four, and you forget about them, but then you come back and Clayton Custer, yeah!
Yeah. It's cool.
Rambler.
It's a good story. You don't think Sister Jean's got an ego problem. I mean, too many endorsements. Coming up, Stories of Matter with Steve Grzanich in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom, and CLTV joins us as well on WGN Radio.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
Texters continue to chime in on this question, and that is, did you do something for your kids that you shouldn't have done? My daughter, who had beautiful strawberry red hair, decided to color her hair, make it a little darker, didn't turn out well. We worked together at the time, so I colored my hair the same color so she wouldn't feel self-conscious.
That is so super sweet of her.
It's extremely long, 6 months when it grew out. I had a lot of bad hair days. Maybe I should have reconsidered. And this. I think we should ask Miles what he's done to help Justin. that he maybe you shouldn't have. That's out there as
That's
well.
That's funny.
By the way, speaking of kids, Abigail Grace stayed with us all weekend. It's still at the big house. And last night before she went to bed.
I mean, she's not at the in the trailer in East St. Louis?
No. She hasn't seen it yet. We have this regular routine. You know, she gets a story before she goes to bed, and she's very sweet, sing her a song or two. And I like to do another one, Bites the Dust. It's one of her favorites. And last night she looked at me and she said, Pops? And I said, yeah, what is it, honey? She said, this attorney general race seems super close to me. do you know what Pat Brady's doing tomorrow? Well, our friend Pat Brady is flying around with Attorney General Erica Harold today all over the state.
Oh.
So he'll be in on Wednesday, yes?
Yes. Is he actually flying? Because he is a pilot.
I don't know that he's flying the plane. I think he's on the plane as they fly around and meet people. But that Kwame Raoul, Eric Harold race, that's a very tight race.
Raoul had his old friend President Obama on stage for him yesterday. Yeah.
Does anyone of those people in that group that we mentioned have a Chicago accent?
They may. But before you do that, why don't y'all say hi to Abigail? Because I think she's listening right now.
Oh. Hi,
Abigail.
Hi, Abigail.
How fun is that?
There you go. Hi, Abigail. The Chicago Accent Challenge.
Yes,
hit
coming
me.
Up.
Hit me. Hit
All
me.
Right. The
hit
Chicago me. Accent Challenge. Do you think you have the best Chicago accent? Do people say, hey, where are you from? Are you from Chicago? Now you can use it and for fabulous prizes. We have prizes with pizza this time around. Last time we played it, I was like, you get a free pizza. And then we had a nap card.
No, we actually went out and bought a pizza. Yeah, because you committed us.
You've got a couple of tombstones there.
Yeah, we got pizzas. We got pizzas.
All right,
and we
pizza.
Got more pizzas.
So perfect. 312-981-7200. If you have a Chicago
accent.
Don't
be shy, right?
You don't have to be shy. You can win a pizza and The best part is that you were entered into the grand prize, and the prize is $333.
And you're doing a live show?
And I'm doing a live show. It's at Think of Karate Kid. Remember the end of Karate Kid, the karate tournament? It's like that, but for Chicago accents. 312-981-7200.
That's coming up. Do you have to do this thing?
That got bloody.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. There's no blood.
The bird stand.
There'll be a lot of long vowels, but no blood.
All right.
It's coming up in December.
So 312-981-7200. Yep. Just call and answer your questions.
I got a couple of questions for you.
And that's all you have to do. It's
that's all
simple.
You have to do. Super simple.
Just everything you do every day. And by the way, we do know your mom lives on Cicero, but we like to hear it anyway.
Favorite day, Sunday. Favorite team, the Bears. Favorite store, Ventures. Stairs. Favorite show, Danza. Also, the news. Weatherman, Skilling. Music, the Blues. Favorite actor, Denny. Favorite drink, Old Bulls. Bears, Hawks, Sox, Bulls.
That's really your key, isn't it? Bulls. That's how you say bulls.
There's a different part in the song where he just goes, onions. It's the best.
312-981-7200. Room for you and your Chicago accent. Somebody told you have one? You yeah. know you have one? Just answer a few of Justin Kaufman's questions.
There's an end to this. The Chicago Accent Challenge ends at the end of this month. And then we'll have the live stage show December 2nd at Chicago Theater Works up on Belmont. The big Chicago accent on this program is Mary Vandeveld. There's no doubt about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you definitely
have a Chicago accent. Why do you guys keep saying that?
Did you ask her the question?
I did. I'll ask him
again.
He
asked me the questions.
I
don't even do the Portillo's question because I don't order what a
you
Chicago
get the chopped
person
salad. Yeah,
is supposed to order. Yeah. Chopped salad is not the proper order. Or yeah, a hot dog with ketchup.
To say some kind of beef dragged and whatever, but I wouldn't order that either, yeah.
Okay, well, I mean, do you eat? What do you get on your pizza?
I get sausage.
Okay.
Is that bad?
So she goes saw.
I didn't say saw. Yeah. I do the saw.
Yeah.
No, I can't do that. I do sausage mushroom.
What's
it's
that?
More of an SAH, right? Yeah. Sausage?
What's green that fuzzy beverage that sometimes people drink? Diet Coke?
Fizzy?
What do you call that?
Carbonation.
A Coke? Cola? A what?
A soda?
Is it pop?
I call it pop.
Yeah, it's pop.
That's definitely pop.
Yeah, I got pop.
Yeah,
got
nobody right says answer. Soda in Chicago. You gotta say
yeah,
pop.
We have not having a soda. I'm having a pop.
Okay.
A pop.
What do you call the space between two houses? What's the space between?
See, I grew up in the burbs, so I don't have that space between. Yeah. We just have alleys once in a while.
I know what it is. It's a gangway.
Yeah. But
right. Dave has the alleys. Most Washington, D.C., Chicago accent I've ever heard.
I lived in a home, and I've lived in a couple of them in Chicago that had gangways.
Hmm. The thing with Mary
had
Vandeville
soda
is when Mary does her traffic report, it's a little bit more broadcasty than your normal voice.
Oh.
And so but that's normal. We all do that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But that's
your radio voice.
When we get into conversation or maybe in this, I think more of your Chicago comes out.
Let me hear you say bulls.
Bulls?
Yeah, that's her. That's her.
Well, nothing abnormal about that.
We're doing an episode a week on the Facebook Live called Between Two Marys, and it's Mary
it's a great show. You got to tune in.
Yeah, Mary and I are in it, and then Justin sits between us, hence
Between Two Marys.
And is the latest episode up?
The latest episode is up, and Mary...
Basically, it's an excuse for you guys to rip me when I'm not around.
No,
yeah, we don't talk about you at all.
Well, then you're not doing your job.
It's stuff you won't let us talk about on the air.
Yeah.
There
That's
you go.
The tagline.
So Mary told us a story about Steve, though. Steve driving her nuts with
Steve, her husband, Steve.
Yes. Isn't that funny?
Yes. Yes.
A lot of Steves in my life.
Yeah. Right.
Too exactly. many Steves.
Requesting last minute Halloween costume items that he needed to be Indiana Jones.
Yes.
No, Crocodile Dundee.
No, Crocodile Dundee. Because he was wrestling the
because
crocodile.
His grandnephew was coming over dressed as his
granddog.
Yeah, our granddog. It's a dog. It was dressed, but it's their grandson, you know, was coming over as a crocodile. So he wanted to be Crocodile Dundee.
It's a good thing I wasn't there.
He needed a feather and a whip, but we won't get
it. I talked about this weekend with my family. I was like, oh, the funny thing about Crocodile Dundee. Mary was talking about Crocodile Dundee. And Miles is like, what is that? And I'm like, oh, it's the greatest.
And
then Julie's like, you know, I never saw that movie. I'm like, that is the greatest 80s movie of all time. There's a lot of New York limos. I wouldn't be surprised if Donald Trump is in it. That vibe that he's coming from the Outback and he goes to New York and he's fish out of water. That's not a knife. He's got that.
That's exactly right.
With his hat.
It's a great ending where
vest.
He walks over everybody on the subway. So there's a lot going on with Crocodile Dundee.
And he's got the romance going. Who's the girl in that?
Linda Kozlowski.
Oh, Linda Kozlowski.
And they both now are in the witness protection program. You couldn't find either one of them.
By the way,
when your husband asks for a feather and a whip and there's no further explanation, I mean, do you think that's going in a different direction?
Well, I was a little confused when I came home that day, Halloween. I'm like, okay. And he goes, well, a jump rope will do.
Wow. That gets weird.
The cutest thing is she's like, so I'm digging through my son's Boy Scout projects. Like, she has all these things.
Like, I have a feather laying around, you know?
To try to find.
Where'd you find the whip?
I had a jump rope. I gave him a jump rope. He ruined my jump rope. But I used it to exercise with.
I don't think he had a whip, Crocodile Dundee.
No,
he didn't.
Knife. He had a knife. Right? I should have looked it up, but we couldn't have him answering the door with a knife in his hand. That'd be a little bad. I mean, the whip was bad enough.
Texas says, Mary, I grew up in McKinley Park neighborhood, and we said soda.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, really?
Correcting your pop. Another texter says, what and how do you order from your local hot dog joint?
Yeah, we always
that's one of your questions.
We always say, they're right. Not everybody goes. So, Mary, let me ask you a different way. Welcome to your local hot dog joint. What would you like to order?
A hot dog with ketchup and relish.
Oh, that's right. She puts ketchup on it. Right. That's my girl right there.
I got time for one. Let's do one.
Now with the broad, I just do mustard.
All right, one time. Stan.
Yeah.
Stan, hey, welcome to the Chicago Accent Challenge. How are you, bud?
I'm doing all right. How about you?
Where do you live?
Wheaton.
Wheaton. Did you grow up at the texter says not everyone's Catholic, but did you grow up in a certain church
Catholic, yep. I was an altar boy at St. Vincent Ferraris in River Forest.
All right, there you go, River Forest. All right, Stan. All right, so people tell you that you have a Chicago accent. Obviously, you can hear it.
Okay.
Stan, how do you get over by Maz?
How do I go to Maz?
Yeah.
I drive.
What's the route?
Give us the route.
So my mom don't live in the city.
You know what? That's all you needed to hear. My mom don't live in the city.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Does she live in Cicero?
No. My grandma used to live in Cicero and Berwyn.
Bingo. But,
all right, I'll ask you.
My mom lives in Florida.
Oh, okay, so that's a long
drive.
Although a Chicago would be able to tell you how to drive there.
Yeah.
All right, so welcome to Portillo's.
Yeah, 57 of Memphis.
Welcome to Portillo's. Can I take your order?
I don't go to Portillo's.
Welcome to Johnny's.
Now you know this guy's a Chicagoan because he argues every single point.
Maybe he goes to the Mean Wiener. In Highwood?
No, Johnny. I go to Johnny's on Portillo.
Johnny's is great. Yep, Johnny's is amazing.
Yeah, you get a combo hot, you get a fry, and then you get they have the absolute world best Italian ice in the whole world.
This guy's good.
Yeah, he is.
This guy's really good. I'm afraid during the live show you may punch him in the face, but he's really good.
He's not faking it. He's done.
No, he's really good.
Stan, hold on, Stan. That's really good.
Stan, you are very, very good.
Let's like Stan. He'll start.
All right, real quick. Can you get one more in him real quick?
Yeah, let's try it.
Go, Glenn.
Let's go, Glenn. Hey, Glenn.
Hey, how you doing?
All right, now he's working it.
No, I don't know yet. Glenn, where are you from?
I'm from the South Side.
South Side? What parish are you from?
Blue Island, somewhere around here.
Okay.
I'm new to the area.
All right, so you're new to the area. Okay, how do you get over by Maz?
Let's see, I take I-57 and I get off a couple, 2 miles south, and just get off on 119th.
All right, now I'll ask you a question. Welcome to Portillo's. Can I take your order?
Yeah, let me get a couple of Franks.
Okay.
Franks. No ketchup at all. Heavy on the chili.
All right, there you go. Glenn, thanks.
Pretty strong.
Thanks, buddy.
Pretty strong. I don't want to poison the well here, but I mean, I don't know how you beat Stan.
I don't think he does. Franks is not how you'd say it. Let's try Cheryl to end it.
All right.
And see, because I like when we get a female in here. All right, Cheryl, you have a Chicago accent?
I do.
Oh, there's a do. All right. I can hear the echo here, so we'll get right to it. How do you get over by Maz, Cheryl?
My mom's in Holy Cross Cemetery.
Okay,
I go right down the street.
Right down the street.
Right down the street.
Where do you live?
The only reason I'm laughing, Cheryl, is because the question wouldn't lead to... Oh, she's dead.
I know.
Mom's dead.
No, my mom's been gone for a long, long time.
I get it. No, believe me, I get it.
But you could give us the address, how to get over to the cemetery.
Right.
I would go straight down Muskegon. I would turn left, go about a half a mile, right into Holy Cross Cemetery, straight down to Lot 23.
Okay, there you go. That's very specific. All right. What do you call a traffic jam that have people slowing down to look at it? What's the phrase?
The phrase?
Yeah.
For a traffic jam? I don't know. Where's this traffic jam at?
Let's say
is it on a local street?
No, let's say it's on the Kennedy.
It's on the Kennedy. Okay. It would be a bunch of people just hanging out looking at things.
There you go. That's good. That's very good. That's solid.
Can't find a word to rhyme.
Cheryl, you're very, very nice to call. Thank you, Cheryl. What's the word we were looking for?
Gaper's delay.
Gaper's delay.
Like a lot of people sitting around. Yeah. I don't know if anyone beat Stan.
I felt
that was a confusing question, if I could defend
really?
Cheryl. I did.
Well, that's how I feel about the Ailey question.
Well, you guys can argue about this off the air, but we know Stan is in.
Stan
and we're back
wins.
We're back with the headlines in just a second at 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show
on 720 WGN.
I've got Christmas on my mind. I adore that lovely time.
For those of you regular listeners, again, appreciate it more than you know, and thank you for that support. Please go out and tell 10 people today that you listen and ask them what they're doing with their mornings. And we appreciate it. The same way we appreciate CLTV and occasionally Channel 9 for the promotional work they do for the show. So thank you for all of that. Now, if you listen with any regularity, I think you would agree with me. The most fascinating, most mysterious character on this show, mm-hmm. and I mean character, is Pete Zimmerman.
Yeah, no doubt. No
now, problem. Justin, let me go to Justin on this. You met Pete how?
Working on the download. That's the first time I met him, and we worked together since 2015, so I know a lot about him, and there are still a lot of things I don't.
Were you suspicious of him from the moment you met him?
When I found out that Pete, he's very even keel,
mm-hmm.
motionless,
much like a CIA agent.
And
well,
then there's
he hides his emotion
like a real man.
Yes.
And there is then there's this time of year when we start getting to
where he
Christmas,
goes Christmas nuts. But before you get to Christmas, yeah. Sandberg, you've known him for how long?
17 years.
Do you have any idea what he's truly made of?
I do. He's made of sugar. He's like Buddy the Elf.
Well, then that gets us right back to Christmas, doesn't it?
Yeah.
All right. So you're Christmas crazy.
I am a Christmas enthusiast.
Okay. By that, you mean what? What do you do to celebrate Christmas that takes you over and above?
I just embrace the holiday season. I go out as opposed to my normal way of doing things.
Do you carol?
In.
Do you carol?
I have caroled. Hmm.
And you're not against it?
No, no.
Yeah, you're pro-caroling.
And in fact, one of the things I'll talk about as we move forward in this segment is
he's hoping it lasts.
There is a Christmas caroling at the Bean on Friday evenings during the holiday season, and we usually go and take
very
part.
Nice.
Yeah.
Now, the lovely woman that shares your life with you is also Christmas crazy.
Speaking of
Molly, here.
My wife was a fan of Christmas. Yes, I think
you've taken her to the next level.
I've taken her to the next level.
I think she does really kind things. They put up multiple Christmas trees in their house.
Mm-hmm.
Pete cries when they get taken down. When the season is over, he hates it to be.
Well,
over.
There's a difference between crying and getting weepy or emotional. I mean, the way a man cries is, you know, you hide it and pretend there's something in your eye.
He posts on his Instagram story tear faces as the trees are getting taken down.
All right, so he crashed.
Yeah.
What would you say your favorite part of the Christmas experience is?
Just, you know, being with
Butch McGuire's?
Being with the people you love.
Oh,
that's
nice.
Not true. I don't believe that for a moment.
Where do
he
you
likes
spend?
Lights. I think he likes lights and revelry.
Do you do Christmas cards?
Yes, we do.
Wow.
Most people don't like to do them, but they do them anyway, like me.
Well, my wife is in the stationery business.
Oh.
So cards are important.
It's much warmer than the Christmas texts I send out on Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
And Molly always does the cutest custom.
We do a custom Christmas card.
Very nice. Mm-hmm. Do you get sick of Christmas music?
No. I love Christmas music. I'm ready for it to start.
Okay. Well, it started in many places already. It's not hard to find.
Yeah.
Do you think retailers put up their Christmas stuff too early?
No.
Okay. You'd like to see it maybe sooner, around July 4th?
I'm fine with any time in October. It's fine.
Okay. And Santa has how many reindeer?
8.
That's for sure.
Or 9, I guess, with
Rudolph.
Traditionalists don't believe in Rudolph.
Pete and Molly also do a Christmas podcast here on WGN They do, it's Molly and Pete Save Christmas, where they review Christmas holiday TV movies.
Hallmark Christmas movies.
Yeah. For instance?
The first one should be posted sometime this week. We review the 12 Gifts of Christmas, the 2015 Hallmark holiday classic.
He's writing it down. I can see it right now. Steve just wrote it down.
Yep, making sure I have all the notes. One. Your favorite animated Christmas classic?
Well, you know, I like all the Rankin and Bass ones, you know, so with the one with Heat Miser and Freeze Meister, that was called The Year Without a Santa Claus.
Mm-hmm. Favorite Christmas movie?
Probably It's a Wonderful Life.
Yeah, it's hard to beat, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Yeah, such a strong message. All right,
he also
now
has deep knowledge of every TV show, sitcom's Christmas episode.
Oh, you do?
I'm a big fan of the Christmas episode, or really any holiday. We watch a lot of Halloween TV episodes. We'll watch.
You know who would be good is if you and Bill Leff were involved in a TV off, because Bill Leff has an incredible vast knowledge of crap that doesn't matter from TV.
Yeah, he would smoke me, I think, in that type of thing.
But the Christmas stuff you have down.
Christmas, yeah. But, you know, again, I do like to take things in, Thanksgiving is really strong in holiday-themed episodes. I can go, ten seasons of great Friends episodes.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so. Well, they're always strong Christmas stuff. What about Who's the Boss? You got a Who's the Boss Christmas memory?
No, I don't.
Okay.
No.
Early in our relationship, he would talk highly of a West Wing Christmas episode that he used to just tell me about.
Yeah, in Excelsis Deo. Oh. Great.
I miss my boys.
Oh. Look at Bertrand.
Yes.
Yeah, by the way, Steve's mic is not on by accident. He actually meant to say
that. I miss my boys. Watch that one. I'm sure it's available.
All right, so we're going to come back, and you're going to ask a trivia question, a Christmas trivia question.
Yep.
For a $100 gift card to Tree Time with the most ginormous selection of artificial Christmas trees, unique decorations anywhere. Everything Christmas at Tree Time on Pepper Road in Lake Barrington. Stand by. More Christmas Pete in just moments. We do have one question from line one. It's Louie at Hoffman Estates. Louie!
Hi, Steve.
Go ahead, my friend.
Hey, Pete, I mean, if you're a real, real Christmas fan, do you actually watch that Hallmark channel with the crappy shows with the bad B actors and 99.9% only white people in them?
As a matter of fact, we do watch that, and we do a podcast about that very thing. We watch the episodes and we talk about it. You'll be happy to know that one of the new ones, Christmas at Pemberley Manor, which we've watched, I think there is a black person in it.
Oh, come on.
Oh, my God.
It's crazy. It's just crazy.
You can get that on the WGN Radio app or WGNRadio.com. Molly and Pete Save Christmas. Molllie.
I like how Louie's calling in for more diversity on the Hallmark Channel.
He's not wrong.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
I've got Christmas on my mind. I could build a lovely time.
Christmas Pete is here. Favorite Christmas song?
It's too numerous to mention. This particular one is Christmas on My Mind by the Hep Stars, released in 1966.
That's in your top 10?
Swedish band, the Hep Stars, 1967 release.
Do you like Merry Christmas, Baby? No, 19 versions of it, 20 versions of it, or whatever?
No. My least favorite one is Wonderful Christmas Time by Paul McCartney.
Yeah, it's not great. Yeah.
Same here.
It's not great. How about Bruce Springsteen?
Merry Christmas, Santa's Coming to Town.
Tremendous.
Yeah,
the big man.
The live version. Yeah.
Yeah. All good. We're back. It's Christmas, Pete. You have a trivia question now, and the correct answer is going to get a $100 gift card to Tree Time.
All right, I'm ready.
You're not eligible, but you can help. You can help.
Once again,
you can be the Christmas lifeline. Okay. The question is,
in the Christmas party episode of The Office, Season 2, original air date December 6th, 2005. The Dunder Mifflin employees hold a Secret Santa gift exchange. What was the gift given to Michael that caused him to introduce a Yankee swap in which someone can choose to steal someone else's gift
or open
a new one?
You have to be really close to some sort of psychotic to know the answer.
I know the gift.
Yeah.
Like the good gift. I don't know what he got.
What was the gift Michael got?
That caused him to get really upset and change the rules of the game?
And he did that Yankee swap to get the
the present that he introduced.
Is this the one where they were all wearing Christmas robes that the company gave them, or is that not this episode?
No, I think that's a different one.
Okay. Yeah.
312-981-7200. That's the number. 312-981-7200. All right, how about a Christmas idea?
Well, yes, there's tons of things to do in Chicago this Christmas, and I will recommend the first thing to do is to get tickets on sale now for the Music Box Theater's double feature of It's a Wonderful Life and White Christmas.
I'll do it right now.
Okay. We've already purchased ours.
They do sell out.
And Molly and Pete will be in attendance.
And it's great. It's, you know, if you haven't seen the movies on the big screen, sure, it's a great
tremendous
experience.
And if you're a grown man weeping in the back, it's because the credits are rolling and the movie's over.
Wonderful for families. Okay. There's a Christmas sing-along where Santa sings carols, and then he comes out and throws candy into the audience.
Oh, my goodness.
So it's a...
So it's like Blue Man Group.
I would recommend...
Yeah, except with Santa and Christmas stuff.
Drumming.
Amy is on the phone. Amy, do you have an answer to the question on the office for the Christmas peak question of the day?
I think I do. I believe it. The gift was knitted oven mitts from Phyllis.
Michael.
Oh, hey. For me, what is in here? Oh, come on.
I knitted it for you.
An oven mitt?
Okay.
So Phyllis is basically saying, hey, Michael, I know you did a lot to help the office this year, but I only care about you a homemade oven mitt's worth. Ding, ding, ding!
Amy, you also need to get out of the house occasionally.
Good job, Amy.
I really do.
Congratulations, $100 gift card for Tree Time. Stand by for the information, and thank you for listening.
Thank you so much.
I feel like I'm forgetting something. Is there anything
else?
A Christmas song.
Yeah. A lot of people always ask about Christmas songs, right, and like, where are the new Christmas songs? I heard John Williams all last holiday season talking about, like, mm-hmm, you know, and so I would like to recommend some new ones. A Christmas song that you may not have heard of that should be added to your Christmas playlist when you're hosting a party.
Love it.
The first one is a song by a band called Phoenix, and they do a cover of a Beach Boys song called Alone on Christmas Day that was featured in a very special Christmas, or a very Murray Christmas, Bill Murray's Christmas special on Netflix.
Right, go-to band, yeah.
Okay, I'm going to you guys. How about you fellas play something that nobody knows?
Tell me who again? Sadness. I know you don't want to talk over the hook, but you have to. Tell me who?
It's Phoenix, a band Phoenix, featuring Bill Murray and some background vocals there.
I like it a lot.
It's on Spotify. And
available wherever Santa is?
Yeah. Okay. Exactly.
On Spotify. All right. Well, you're going to have to hold the other suggestions for now because we're almost out of time.
Have many more.
This is the kickoff to a
Christmas peak.
Thinking about a weekly segment. We probably should bank off the whole hour, I'm thinking.
Probably so. Let me get back to you on that.
So on Wednesday at 9:10, that'll be our next Christmas peak segment where you can win a $100 gift card to Tree Time.
Stand by for that. Coming up, Stories That Matter with Steve Bertrand in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. Wendy Miller here. How are you guys?
Hi, Steve.
Great.
Did you have a nice weekend?
Yes.
Fantastic. Extra hour of sleep. I'm going to do that again next weekend.
I don't like the dark at 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
No.
Mm-mm.
I love it.
Do you do?
No.
Justin, you said you love it.
I love it because now it feels like we have a full night before we have to go to bed at 9 o'clock.
Now, my problem is when it gets dark, I go, I got to go to bed at
4 o'clock.
My family does not observe.
I went to bed last night at 5:15.
Oh, 5:15? My family does not observe daylight saving time.
Oh, it's against your religion.
We just don't do it.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
So we're here an hour early then?
Yeah.
Oh, yep. Or an hour later. I don't understand.
It's very odd. There is a push right now in Washington to kill the idea. We're going to stay at the same time all year long. And I'm sure we'll get that done because nobody's talking about anything else. All right, people, go vote if you're going to vote today. Don't put it off if you can't vote tomorrow. Here's Wendy.